الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, inshallah, in the next 4 days or so, we will begin the Mubarak month of Dhul Hijjah. So I thought it's a good idea to remind myself anew about the importance of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah and of what we should be doing in those days. In a hadith in Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is quoted as saying that there are no days more beloved to Allah that He should be worshipped in them than the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Fasting every day of them is equivalent to fasting 1 year, and standing every night of them in Salah is equivalent to standing on the night of Qadr. And this hadith is in Tirmidhi. In another hadith, also in Tirmidhi, Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about fasting on the day of Arafah. He said, "As for the fasting on the day of Arafah, I anticipate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the year before it and after it of sins." So fasting on the day of Yawmul Arafah. Yawmul Arafah is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Yawmul Arafah has, there is no need to fall into the usual arguments and controversies about whether people are standing in Arafah or not. Yawmul Arafah is the name for the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, and that's all there is to it. So just like Yawmul Eidul Fitr is the name given to the first day of Shawwal. So there is no need to, just whenever it's the first day, that's the Eidul Fitr. So similarly, whenever in whichever country you are in, whenever it's the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, that is the Yawmul Arafah. But the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not to fast only on that day. His Sunnah was to fast on all the 9 days until Eid. And if you do that, then there is no need for any controversy. And as we saw from this hadith, we get inshallah the reward of 1 year of fasting for every day. So why would you want to lose that? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There are no days in which good deeds, righteous deeds, are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days. The people asked, "Not even jihad for the sake of Allah?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Not even jihad for the sake of Allah, except in the case of a man who went out to fight, giving himself and his wealth up for the cause and did not come back, and came back with nothing," meaning he did not come back. And this is a Sahih hadith in Bukhari. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast on the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah. It was narrated from Hunayda ibn Khalid, from his wife and one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Nabi, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast on the first 9 days of Dhul Hijjah and the day of Ashura and 3 days of each month, which is 13th to 15th. And this is in Nasai and Abu Dawud, and it is classified as Sahih by Shaykh Albani rahimahullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Anyone who fasts for 1 day for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure during these 10 days, Allah will keep his face away from the hellfire for a distance covered by a journey of 70 years. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "There are no days on which good deeds are greater or more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than on these 10 days. So recite much of tahleel, which is La ilaha illallah, takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, and tahmeed, saying Alhamdulillah." And this is a Sahih hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad. So a lot of zikr, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, and Alhamdulillah. And as we do the zikr in these days, even after the Fard Salawat, we say La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, all of these azkar, inshallah. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in Medina for 10 years. And every year he slaughtered an animal. And this is a Sahih hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad. So this refers to the Udhiyah or the Qurbani. Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu reports that the Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is this sacrifice? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, it is the way of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. They asked him, what reward is there for us in it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a reward for every hair. So they're talking about goats and other things. Then they asked him, what about sheep? He said, what about the wool, Ya Rasulullah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a reward for every strand of the wool. So alhamdulillah, the best thing that we can do on the day of Eid is the sacrifice of Udhiyah, and we need to do that. This hadith is in Imam Musnad Imam Ahmad and in Ibn Majah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the son of Adam alayhi salam does not do any action on the day of sacrifice which is more pleasing to Allah than the sacrifice of the animal. And this is in Tirmidhi and Sunan Ibn Majah. Now, the sacrifice, time for offering the sacrifice begins after the Eid al-Adha Salah. According to a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sacrificed before the Eid Salah, he or she just sacrificed and slaughtered an animal for meat. It was not a sacrifice, but whoever made the sacrifice after Eid al-Adha, he or she has actually offered a sacrifice. So this is Bukhari. This is in Sahih Hadith in Bukhari. So obviously, I mean, we do this, but just to reiterate, there is no Qurbani before the Eid Salah. So it's only after. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, whoever can afford to offer a sacrifice but does not do so, let him not approach our place of prayer. Let him not come to the Eidgah. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah, and it is a Sahih Hadith. So the Qurbani is wajib on anyone who has, and I'll give you that thing just now. So if it is wajib on you and you do not do it, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't even come for the Eid Salah. We know what that means. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever, so before that, the Udhiya is wajib on anyone who has the nisab for zakat, which is 87 grams of gold or the equivalent in cash. Now, for zakat, this amount has to be with you for 1 year and so on. In the Udhiya, it doesn't matter. If you had the money, if you got the money the day before, it is wajib on you. So the time passing is not a requirement, just that you have that. This is in addition to whatever, I mean, for example, the house you live in and so on is not counted in that. So this is surplus cash. In addition to that, if you have 87 grams of gold or the equivalent of that in cash, then the udhiya is wajib on you, and therefore you and I, we have to do this. The reward of the sacrifice is for the whole dependent family. Now this is another confusion. You don't have to sacrifice an animal for every member of the family. One animal is enough in terms of the sawab, the reward. But if in that family there are people who have the individual, if they are liable for zakat, then they must sacrifice their own animal. So say for example, your wife is liable for zakat. She has to sacrifice her own animal. She can't say, my husband sacrificed one animal, that's enough for all. No. The sawab is there for everybody, but the obligation of sacrifice is on anyone who, for whom zakat is liable. So in your extended family, you might have some children who are earning, your wife might be liable. So therefore, depending on the number of people. But supposing, for example, you are the only person who is liable for zakat, and you have 20 children, so the sacrifice inshallah is valid for all of them. You don't have to sacrifice 21 animals. So I think that's done. Now, one important thing is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sees the crescent of Dhul-Hijjah, meaning that comes into Dhul-Hijjah and wants to or has to slaughter a sacrifice, he should not cut his hair and nor his nails. So this is for the person who is intending to sacrifice. In the case of, for example, if a woman has delegated the sacrifice, the actual act of sacrifice to her son or her husband or somebody, and then she thinks that she can cut her hair, no, she can't. because sacrifice is for her. The son doing the sacrifice is only carrying out her instruction. The person who is liable for the sacrifice, only that person should not cut his hair and should not clip his nails during these days, from the first of Dhul-Hijjah until the sacrifice is done. So even on the Eid day, he must not clip his nails and so on before he comes for Eid Salah. After the Eid Salah, once the sacrifice is done, then he can go and do that. Please notice, we are not talking about shaving the beard. Things to do. नहीं बोलूँगा बोलेंगे भाई बाला काटने को बोले दाढ़ी को नहीं दाढ़ी तो कभी मुंडाने चाहिए नहीं है तो कह कौन लगा तो things to do in Dhul-Hijjah is fasting of the first 9 days, pray tahajjud and more nawafil than you normally pray, give charity especially in these days, increase other good deeds, whatever else you like to do, pray Salatul Eid and listen to the khutbah, and inshallah make the sacrifice. So these are the things to do during these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, which inshallah biiznillahi ta'ala will be on us very soon. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to find these days in good health and in state of iman, and enable us to arrange our lives in such a way that we free up the time to spend the maximum time in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days, because once again these days are the best days of the year, which includes Ramadan. I mean, it's not only these 10 days are better even than Ramadan, so it's very important for us to understand that, and therefore we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us these days in good health and enable us to do whatever pleases him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.